Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hey, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? Did you clip your fingernails? Make sure you floss. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I was going to say this Thursday, and I'm like, nope, this is going to come out after that.
I was so excited. Yeah.
I was so excited. Aww. Well, it's going to come out a day after for Luminary subscribers.
Right. Well, if you weren't there...
Man,
fuck
that show
you.
Was great.
It was so good.
Man, that Midnight Theater show was so great. Eric, you were phenomenal.
The craziest thing happened.
Yeah, it was so crazy.
There,
Eric, you handled it really well. We're so proud of you.
Yeah, you really are stable in your masculinity.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We appreciate that about you.
Oh, man. Feelings check-ins, everyone. This is what they're doing in school now. I read a whole article about it.
Feelings check-ins?
Yeah, feelings check-in, everyone. How's everyone feeling? Eric, what's your feeling? How are you feeling? You look pale.
Yeah, I'm vulnerable today.
You're feeling vulnerable?
Why is that? I feel fine.
What? No, the first answer revealed a truth. Why are you feeling vulnerable?
He said, I'm feeling vulnerable. Yeah, what's making you feel vulnerable, Eric?
The sleep schedule.
Oh, yeah.
That you know, how's that making you feel vulnerable?
I feel vulnerable when I'm tired too. Yeah.
Like you can, like people can get more out of you.
Just like I'm so fragile. Like, like any little sound, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I'll just say yes to whatever.
Okay.
Well, uh-oh.
You shouldn't have let us know that.
Don't say that on the mic.
Also, I'm concerned about you, Eric. I feel like I should like bring a little Tupperware of protein snacks for you every day when I show up.
I would love that.
You're looking vampiric.
What'd you eat today?
Do I really look that pale?
Yeah. And I mean, like I know it's annoying as a fellow pale person. I know it's very annoying to say, but like to the point where like, I'm like, are you okay?
I was in the sun all day yesterday. I was in the sun on Saturday.
Okay.
The sun
did you wear
like
sunscreen?
You.
No, I didn't.
Mm. Oh, Eric.
Eric.
You're going to learn some beauty tips from us.
Yeah, Eric, that's not good.
You're not going to come out of this experience unscathed.
He said I moisturize as if it's the same thing. I know they're both creamy,
yeah,
but they're doing different jobs.
Totally different things. One blocks harmful rays from the sun.
Yeah.
And the other one just, you know, makes you moist.
Yeah, you can get a moisturizing SPF. A lot of products have SPF in them. But yeah,
but I would say, yeah, get some no SPF time in more. Yeah, you do look pale.
Okay, well,
but crazy job last night. I mean, I couldn't believe how you handled that.
You rocked it. It was insane.
How are you feeling, Corinne?
I'm feeling great.
That's awesome.
Well, first of all, it's beautiful out, and I realized I'm like, oh, we've gotten to March, and I have experienced zero seasonal depression. I'm pretty sure it's due to climate change, but you
whatever
know,
it takes,
whatever
baby.
It takes. I don't really get bad seasonal depression because I actually like winter a lot. Mm. I love snow. I love cold. I didn't get to go skiing, which is a bummer, but yeah, no, I feel very, very, very good.
That's excellent.
I wish the subway was faster because I'm really trying to take less Ubers, and they really test me
yeah
every time, but other than that, you know, it's fun.
That's
I like
great.
Riding the subway. I think it's fun.
I love riding the subway.
I think it's a fun little adventure.
There's so many characters.
There are. Everybody's, and they all smell oddly the same. There is a specific scent,
yes,
for specific
New York
characters
City character.
On the subway.
You could tell from a cart away who's urinated their pants.
Yeah, it could be scratch and sniff. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Very grounded. I was walking around thinking, I'm pretty sure I'm not afraid to die. And then I got a little wake up call and I wasn't afraid. And I was like, well, all right, I'm not afraid to die. I was in the elevators in my building are notoriously awful and they just drop. They need to replace them. They are replacing them apparently, but it hasn't happened yet.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so a lot of times it's a tall building. It's a high rise. So, ooh, you know, it's a long lines to wait. And, I've never been in an elevator that had an issue. But I was with Kevin and we were going outside yesterday.
Yes.
And the elevator dropped what it felt like five floors and then on the 15th floor and then the doors opened. But when it was dropping, I was like, okay, all right, well, this is how we're going to go. I had a lot of more stuff I wanted to do, but that's all right. We're going to die gracefully. And then I didn't die. And I was like, well, damn, what a little gift I got today.
That's your very own Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But not as fun.
Not as fun.
Not as fun.
Aren't you supposed to like kind of supposed to like elevate yourself with it so that you're not on the ground when it makes impact?
I believe so. So like jumping when it
yeah. So you can be in the air when it hits because you can survive that.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. But yeah, I didn't think that fast. But it did fall and it did crash and.
Is anyone in your building saying anything? Are they giving you like a couple of bucks off your rent?
So when, see, the thing is, I'm like, none of us would bitch if you gave us less rent. Like if you deducted our rent, we honestly wouldn't complain. I'll wait 20 minutes to get out of my house. I don't care. Or I'll take the stairs. But as I got off the elevator, there was a woman at the front desk already who had a baby with her.
Oh.
Who the same exact thing had happened to her in that elevator. So I told, there's this one hot door man in my building that I call him Door Daddy.
Yeah.
And I was like, Door Daddy, I was just in this elevator and it felt like felt like five floors. And this woman with a baby was like, I'm telling him the same thing. And I was like, maybe we should turn that elevator off right now. And then no one turned that elevator off. People were just getting in it. And I'm like, okay, well.
Do doormen
in America, someone has to die before we do anything about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, do doormen have turn elevator off privileges?
Yes, they do. Oh. They do because in instances like that where the elevator is being erratic, we're going to turn that off. Because otherwise, if you're on your floor waiting to go down and it comes, you're going to get on it thinking everything's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn.
But your girl ain't afraid to die. Yeah. She don't want to die yet. But
damn.
Not afraid. Pretty cool.
It's weird that you're walking around thinking about that, though. It's almost like you're wishing it on.
No, I don't wish it, but I'm using it because a lot of times the idea of like we're all gonna die lights a fire under my ass. It makes me stop sweating the small stuff. It kind of recalibrates me in a really beautiful way.
Sure.
But then the next step for me personally that I was giving myself was to deal with the fear of deaths because you know, which I kind of had, and now it's gone. That's pretty cool.
Did you do anything to make this leave you?
Just over time, just reminding myself that like death is, you go somewhere better.
Right.
Because Earth is pretty, it was pretty rough.
Right.
It's pretty rough. But also, I chipped my nail, but that's okay. No one kill themselves because then you have to do the whole thing over again. And once I learned that, I was like, well, there you go. Suicide proof for life.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ain't going to get that mom again.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say, well, you chose her.
I did, but I'm learned the lesson.
Yeah.
I'm good now. Next. This is a thank you next, Lord. more lessons that have nothing to do with her.
Yeah, no, I would say, I mean, I think with death, it's like, it's much worse to lose other people than it is to lose yourself.
Totally.
Because that's you. You're way fine. Worse. You can handle it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. If you want to send us an email, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. This one says, I left my ex because of guys we fucked and now a British man has moved here for
me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
I am a woman who a man has moved his whole life to live with me, and I credit this podcast for the success story. I mean, yes, for you, but also like a lot of people move to America from other countries because they think they can like have more opportunities.
But
here.
It's definitely because of our show, and you're welcome.
I broke up with my emotionally and at times physically abusive ex 6 years ago. I had just started doing stand-up comedy when I found this podcast. I binged a bunch of episodes and then found the breakup episode.
The one heard around the world.
After hearing that episode, I had a little intuition that led me to creeping in my ex's desk and finding an engagement ring that he had gotten for me. I threw up. Cool. That's like literally the episode of Sex and the City. I threw up, then finally broke up with him for good the next day. Breaking up, because it's also good because you're like, victory. Now yeah. I can let it go. I won. Breaking up with him was something I tried to do almost 100 times beforehand. Hearing what both of you went through, especially Christina's relationship, ours was very similar in a lot of ways. Finally, I don't think Steven was hitting Christina.
No, he probably wanted to a couple times, but he didn't. What a hero.
Anytime my boyfriend's wanted to hit me, I go, yeah, I get it.
One time he sexually hit me and I was like, was that meant for sex?
Oh, I actually remember that. Yeah. Finally gave me the courage to do it. You both quite literally saved my life, and I am thankful for both of you every single day.
Wow.
So for all the chat about what to do when your friend or loved one is in an abusive relationship, the advice I'd say is to send your podcast. I wouldn't say that. Especially that. Can you imagine like
you're getting
the shit beat out of you and someone just sends you a podcast?
Listen to this breakup episode, girl. It's really good.
Yeah.
Neither of them are getting hit, but like you could probably relate it for some things.
Yeah. I could see how it could be like you could send that as something in addition to actual help and an escape plan. And I love that it helped you so much, but please don't just send the breakup episode to people getting abused.
And just as a reminder, again, letstalkaboutit.com has domestic abuse resources. Again, that's letstalkaboutit.com.
So they send the podcast, especially that episode, to them. Maybe it could be an eye opener that it's possible to get out of a relationship when someone is feeling stuck. It definitely was for me. A few years after finally leaving my horrible ex, I met a British guy on Tinder.
All right.
My profile said looking for a guy to go to emo concerts with.
Oof. Oh, that's fun. I love emo.
You're asking for sad boys.
Yeah, I love a sad boy.
And he asked me to go to a concert. I said, no, I had plans. LOL. The plans were being a ninth wheel to make homemade pizzas with my friends. Okay. I was on keto, so was making myself a keto pizza. Plus, all the couples were fighting. It was an awful night.
So funny. Not only did you gotta eat that keto pizza, you're in a monk's war.
Yeah, it was an awful night, and I decided to text that British guy from earlier. I sent him a text saying, I'll meet up with you if you can find a bar that's open till 2 a.m. I've never sent such a bold text in my life. I don't know who I thought I was, laughing my ass off. He found one and we met up. I was in a hoe phase and had no clue what the date would turn into. Flash to 4 years later, the British guy I met that night is now my husband.
Oh my God, girl.
He was living in Boston on a traineeship visa when we met. We ended up living together during the pandemic before he had to leave and had the most magical time together. We had concerts in the living room, took my dog on adventures, made awesome art together.
And
genuinely had the best time falling in love.
Wow, girl, you had a good pandemic.
I know I sound annoying. You don't sound annoying, but he is truly the best man I've ever met. Yeah, I mean, like, that's who your husband should be.
Yeah.
Everyone's husband should be the best man they've ever met.
That's very true.
It should be their favorite person. It should be someone who, like, all these things. Like, we're not going to think he's the best guy, most likely.
But that's why
he's not our husband.
Exactly. You married him.
Yeah. I hope that for everyone. He's so caring, thoughtful, and kind. He plays guitar, is super smart and driven, is fucking amazing at sex and makes me feel hot as hell, has a heart of gold, goes to every one of my comedy shows. But also doesn't want to try comedy, supports my YouTube ventures, is the biggest supporter of my career as a software engineer, and so much more. I know you've both talked about this, but as a female software engineer and comedian, it is extremely hard to find a man who isn't intimidated by that and can celebrate it. I guess the answer is the guy just has to be British. That's definitely not the answer.
No, there's American guys that... there's at least one.
Yeah. Plus he was raised by a single mom, which I think really helps. We have a partnership where we celebrate each other's passions and encourage each other to do what makes us happy, both inside and outside of our relationship. It's soulmate shit for sure.
Nice.
We did long distance for 2 years, but he finally moved to the US last March from London. It was definitely a compromise of ending up here. Yeah, what city? Oh yeah, Boston. Oof. Oof. I like Boston a lot, but not better than London.
Yeah, London's amazing.
London's one of the best cities. It was definitely a compromise of ending up here, but he's always been so great about all of it and never made me feel shitty about moving from London to Boston, LOL. I usually feel super guilty regardless. London is so much cooler than here. Yes. Ha ha. Yeah. And also like London and Boston, if you're pursuing comedy, like pretty similar.
Yeah, that's true. Boston's a good comedy town.
Yeah. And London's good. Like you could have moved to London.
Yeah.
We've of course had ups and downs with long distance and now adjustments of living together full time, but it's so damn worth every second of the harder time. Thank you for changing and saving my life. If it wasn't for that episode, I don't know if I would have gotten the courage to leave my awful ex. And I really don't know if I'd even be alive to write any emails at all. You'd probably just be married to that guy and still be getting abused.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yikes.
Attaching pics of us. Also, Christina, you probably don't remember me, but I was on Glamour Puss.
Oh, you
ages
were
ago, pre-pandemic. And when I did that show, I was fangirling the entire time, but trying to be chill.
Oh, wait. She sent pictures. Oh, yeah. I remember you. You were very funny. Good job.
Wait, is this the new husband or the husband?
Yeah,
the piece of shit dude.
Yeah, because the
I couldn't tell who it was in that because he just looked like a man.
Yeah, right. That's very cute. Good for you, girl. Wow, that breakup episode is really. And you know that was during the time. I don't even know if it would have been that. It would have been great still, but like, thank God that wasn't on video. I'm glad that's just audio only. There's something special to something being audio only. Like you take it in a different way, and I'm glad that episode lives on in so many people's. Decision-making skills.
Well, yeah, because we like literally did it like lying on our stomachs on my living room floor.
Oh my God.
Which I think is like the way an episode like that needs to be recorded. Absolutely. But yeah, no one needs to see it. There's also like, you start acting a little bit when you're on camera because
watch for clips and then you like, when you're cognizant of all your isms and you're like, sit up straight, Christina, don't do this, don't do this. It's like, okay.
I don't even give a shit, whatever. I go, whatever, I'm doing what I'm doing. I just watch my OCD tics time and time again. And then everyone thinks I'm on drugs. And I go, I literally have a tic because I have an anxiety disorder. I don't know what to tell everybody. It's not drugs. I wish I was on drugs.
I think you're on drugs.
I wish I was on drugs.
I think you're lying to yourself, Corinne. You're actually super insecure and on drugs.
I haven't done drugs in such a long time.
Drugs are great. Okay, guys, come see us live. I have a comedy album out. My debut comedy album, Good Girl Barbara, is available. You can listen to it for free on Spotify. You can download it on Apple Music. You can get it wherever. And I also have a solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, that comes out every Monday. I am the sole host, but Mikey Big Dick Dong Coscarelli is the second mic. And we're doing a lot of ghost hunting in his basement. And don't worry, this past Monday, I purchased holy water off his Amazon and I cured his table. I got the ghost out of the table and I'm not even a Christian. Imagine that. I'm reading this book for The Voices in Our Heads over the next several weeks called Supercharged Self-Healing by this guy, RJ Spina, who I watched a near-death experience interview with him on YouTube. That's how I found him. And he successfully cured himself from being paralyzed from the chest down with a sepsis infection and diabetes, all kind of autoimmune disorders. He cured himself of all those diseases and walked again. So I'm diving into this book. And I have a Patreon, as you know. I talk about it every week, where once a week I will do a Zoom group therapy and I will lead it. I am also adding additional recordings, readings of this book, of RJ Spina's book, because I can't get to the whole thing on my podcast. So there's a lot of bonus content on my Patreon. You could sign up $5 a month. You can just listen to all the things. You can binge, you can listen to all of the therapy audio I got. And pretty soon there'll be bonus readings of Supercharged Self-Healing. And you don't have to be paralyzed to benefit from this book. It's an amazing book. I feel like I've been looking for this book for a very long time. So make sure you tune in, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson.
And everybody, very excited to announce today, I have been teasing this tour for a couple weeks. I finally have everything up. All the links are accessible. It is the Eye of the Tiger tour. I'm coming to a city near you. And if I'm not coming to a city near you, move someplace better. People keep shouting other cities. These are the cities that made sense and that I wanted to go to, that I didn't mind going to. My new rule is if I don't like your city, I'm just not going there anymore. Unless you're offering like an obscene amount of money. It's just, there's no need to make life unpleasant. I'm sorry.
I know.
There's just no need. There's some cities that I truly go to and the whole time I'm thinking, I'd rather be dead. And that doesn't need to be a part of my life anymore.
Winnipeg.
I'll
never gonna stop going to you, Winnipeg.
I actually loved Winnipeg.
I did too.
This is the listings. Tampa, Florida, April 17th. Miami, Florida, April 18th. Atlanta, Georgia, April 19th and 20th. Columbus, Ohio, April 25th. Raleigh, North Carolina, April 30th. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, May 1st. Boston, Massachusetts, May 2nd. Portland, Oregon, May 14th. San Francisco, California, May 15th. Sacramento, California, May 16th. Seattle, Washington, May 17th. Houston, Texas, June 27th, Austin, Texas, June 28th and 29th, and Salt Lake City, Utah, September 26th. A couple of those have multiple shows. Most of them, as you see, I'm just staying one night in the city because I go, I don't need to be there all weekend. Just sell out the one big venue on the one night and then I can leave and move on with my life. I have time to do all the things I want then, and it will make me go on tour more often if I'm just in and fucking out. So yeah, come on a Wednesday or something. This is what I asked to do, and I'm so happy and excited for this. Tickets are available at CorinneFisher.com. The link is also in the Linktree link in my bio on Instagram at Philanthropy Gal. And Chloe LaBranche is the feature act for this entire tour. She did inspire me to call it the Eye of the Tiger Tour because I made the mistake several years ago of telling her that I used to put on my hoodie and put in my earphones and really amp myself up for comedy shows by listening to Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. And she has not let me live it down since. So I did surprise her today. I wouldn't tell her what the tour was, and I surprised her today with it. And she did. She texted me. She was like, I am LOLing at work. So excited. We did kind of the last test run of the show in Washington, D.C. this past weekend, and it was so fun. We had a great time. And also, I want to shout out the host. Her name is Maddie, but I forgot her last name. Let me see. Because it's so sweet. A lot of cities, there's like a comedian who asked to host the weekend of shows, but like doesn't let on, usually like tells the feature that like they're a big fan of Guys We Fucked or me or whatever it is, and like asked to host the weekend. And so shout out to Maddie Brannon. Her handle is Maddie the B, just like the letter B. She actually has a really cool Instagram. If you live in the DC area, she goes to estate sales every weekend.
Ooh.
And she kind of goes through them. She like knows so much about, I love someone who knows a lot about a world that I don't know about. So she goes through the estate sales for the weekend, tells you what's going to be out, which ones, the address, the hours, because she said there's a lot of gatekeeping in estate sales. And I was like, so dramatic. I love it. But yeah, you can go and check that out and support her if you're in the Washington, D.C. area. What a fun weekend. Thank you to everyone who came. And of course, Without a Country comes out every Wednesday. So many wackos came this weekend. I feel like that it's so weird because like this show has been through so many iterations with Joe DeRosa and Shane Smith and now me doing it solo. And I feel like more people are listening than ever before. And I was on C-SPAN this weekend, which was ridiculous. So fun. Shout out to Leslie for making that happen. But yeah, if you want to learn, again, more about the presidential election really heating up, it's pretty much going to be another Biden Trump election. So you're going to want to pay attention, All right. That is that. You said you had.
Yeah. So I had a DM from a female listener who heard me discussing on the most recent bonus episode of Guys We Fucked about being in a partnership where one person, for the nature of this discussion, had a higher sex drive than the other partner, and how to deal with that and what to do and how to go about it and how sometimes talking about it is actually the least likely option for a positive outcome that you want. And so this woman emailed me or DM'd me, and I asked her if I could share this, and she said, yes, please. And it is an example of a man acting just beautifully. And I was like, well, goddamn, let's share that. Just heard the most recent Luminary. I've had your experience, but the other way around. It's a real pattern for me. I'm super sexual for the first 2 years and then suddenly lose all sexual attraction for my boyfriend. And I usually end up cheating and ending the relationship. To be frank, a lot of my past boyfriends have been awful, so I'd lost much respect for them by year two. Mm. So it sort of makes sense. Yeah. However, my current partner is such a good man. I have so much respect for him. We are a unit, a really strong family. We have children, a dog, and a house together. Our sex life was amazing for about 3 years, and I thought I'd escaped my old pattern. But a couple of years ago, I did lose all sexual attraction for him. It was really tough. I didn't even like his smell anymore, which usually I'd be like, oh, is that, that's the ick. Can you come back from the ick? I could see objectively he was really hot. I just couldn't connect with it. It got me so down. It got me down so much because I still fancied other men. I got so in my head about it, forced myself to have some really awkward sex with him, felt so guilty. Could see he didn't know what was going on, but he has the strongest self-esteem and he's so calm and patient. He's masculine as well, so not into big emotional talks. So it was actually me that brought it up, that I knew we weren't having enough sex and how sad I was that we'd lost that amazing sexual attraction we used to have. Mm-hmm. It honestly felt like I was grieving a loss. Briefly considered an open relationship, but I could see that wasn't viable and would blow up our otherwise amazing strong relationship. His response when I brought it up was so incredible. He just doesn't take things personally. So it came from a place of such strength and love. He said, I know you don't want to have sex with me right now. It's fine. I can wait. When it comes back and I know it will. And left it at that. Mm. Which was kind of my theory. He never made me feel guilty, never tried to initiate or push it. Instead, he started doing more to help me out with the kids and work. He made sure I always had time to myself, but he wasn't a doormat either. He was looking after himself as well, going out with his friends, to the gym, making big progress at work. I think because he was so secure with himself and in our relationship, and he saw our best potential and believed in it, it slowly helped me relax. And once I relaxed, I slowly started to see him in a sexual way. To begin with, it was like when the sun pierces through on a cloudy day, I'd be looking at him across the room and suddenly have this urge to fuck him. But it took a year to properly come back. It ebbed and flowed that year, but it did come back, and we've had sex 4 times the last 3 days, and I initiated it every time. We're 5 years into a relationship with young kids and busy lives. I think we're doing pretty good. Just wanted to send you a hopeful message and some love. Also, Mike talking rubbish. My partner still very much wants to fuck me. I've always felt secure in the knowledge that he finds me extremely attractive, unless he's the best actor in the world. And I was like, well, goddamn, lady, I think you picked a great man.
Yeah, that guy sounds great. And I also love the part where, especially where he was just like, hell, you know, that's such a common love language, especially in heterosexual relationships for women to like, help us more.
Yeah.
Oh, I love being helped. I love when people help me. And I'm not talking about little like classically feminine, like help me, like, oh, protect me against this guy catcalling me or something. I mean, like, no, like literally fucking wash a dish, clean a room, walk my dog. Dude, that's help. That's real help. Create time to fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of goes along with my theory of like, I knew when I talked about it on the bonus episode, I'm like, this feeling that I have is coming from a deeply insecure place, which is not a place to have a conversation. It's just not going to go well because it's not the level that I want to be at that I want to approach this because it means too much to me. So approaching it from like all of my insecurities is asking for disaster. So I loved that a man reacted in this way. And so kudos to you, lady.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Nice job, good man. Someone else who's doing good work.
A man who's our guest.
Yes, he is a stand-up comedian, and his new special, Dance Fatty Dance, comes out on YouTube on March 12th. Please welcome to the show, Dan St. Germain.
I'm great. First time here. Thank you for having me. I don't know why I screamed that just now, but thank you.
Oh, yeah. You've not been on the show before.
I really thought he had.
Me too.
We would have asked you a lot sooner. We just thought you had been.
We've done a lot of podcasts together.
Okay, just never not this, this one. No. I really try to do as few podcasts as possible. But yeah,
I've
back in the day,
you
I've
into
done
mine at times.
Yeah, I've done one in the past, but I've got a lot better. Just absolutely after COVID, I just was like, I did who's ever podcast during COVID because it didn't matter.
Yeah,
and then after that, I was like, yeah, not saying no to pretty much everyone now. Yeah. I love saying no to podcasts. It's my favorite thing.
Do you say no, Dan?
I'm not in a position where I can say no to anything.
I'm not really either. I just don't do things I like.
If somebody in the Port Authority has a booth, I'll go do it right now at this point. I got to push the special. So whatever, guys. If it's like, if somebody like hits me up and it's like they have 30 followers. Oh, I'm sorry. And they have like 30 followers and they're like, hey, I'm new at stand-up. Then I try to find ways to get out of it. But even if they're really nice, I'll do it. You know, because I'm like, I don't want to like...
You never
alienate
know.
The fucking four fans I have.
You right. Know? Yeah. Right, right, right. Well, you're about to get one more, probably.
Thank
at
you.
Least.
Thank you. Welcome, Guys We Fuck Nation, to Dancing Jermaine's Instagram.
Guys We Fuck Nation. I like that.
Dan, remember? I'm going to give you a throwback memory.
I think he does. I think he mentioned it while you were in the bathroom.
I didn't know if you were
threatening
up.
My threatening. You said, I hope your boyfriend dies in a car accident.
That's
actually very funny.
I
was offended at the time because I loved him, but that's hilarious.
But by the way, just to anyone who's listening, I was single then many years ago. I'm married now. But yes, I did do that.
Yeah.
Really threw it.
Really
I threw it out there by throwing your boyfriend in front of a bus.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Did you really feel that in your heart? Like if the next day she had texted and been like, "Oh my god, you manifested his death." Like, would you have felt guilty?
I would have felt guilty.
Or like a powerful witch
for sure. Well, I don't think if that had happened, she would have been like, "Fuck you, you killed my boyfriend.
You're a murderer."
So I don't think that I would have been. If she was like, "Hey, I killed my boyfriend," then maybe that would be a different situation.
Right.
But no, at the time, I think at the time the next day I was like, "Oh, what drunken." Dumb thing that I do. And usually I had a list and I was like, oh, okay, so the text apology to Christina is 135 today. And everyone at Buffalo Wild Wings is 155. Let me make sure that I put one in after another.
Did you actually physically write a list of things that you had to make amends for?
I have before.
Estimation.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
Did
mean,
you
I
do
have,
it?
When I was, most of them. Yeah, yeah. I think so. But it's like one of those things where it's like living, like I'm just back from rehab again. So it's like,
oh shit.
There's like a new list every time, you know?
Right. The making amends thing is interesting. Like what AA, what does AA say that it's the benefit of that? I can understand logically.
The clear the wreckage of your past and it should be more for them than you.
Oh.
That's the thing.
Oh, I thought.
So it's like, if it's a situation where you shouldn't reach out because they don't want you to reach out,
you should have that discernment.
Don't reach out.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but it's like one of those things where it's supposed to be like a living thing anyway, where it's like, you know, at the end of your day, if you're like, I was shitty to this person, I should like text this person and say, hey, I'm sorry that I was shitty to you. But I'm not like, I still go to meetings, but I'm not like an AA guy either.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's one of those things. But yeah, it's just kind of like keeping yourself, I guess, accountable.
Right.
But I think you can just do that as a normal person. Like, if you don't apologize as a normal person, you're like...
That's kind of shitty.
You're kind of like a psychopath.
Right.
Well, a psychopath, or like you're just ashamed of how you behaved and you don't want to address it.
That's true.
Because there's some people, like one person in particular I can think of that I'm like, I owe that guy an apology, but I have not apologized because I'm a little too embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look over and your producer has like a black eye on his head. He's like,
sorry, Eric. Maybe you weren't such a bitch. Have you had a rock bottom?
Unfortunately, I've had a few.
Let's take a tour of your rock bottoms.
I could have a whole book of rock bottoms. This past time, it was that I did the bonfire and I had 9 drinks before.
The bonfire is a podcast for those listening.
Yeah, it's
wait, 9.
And I thought that was, I was like, oh, I've only had 9 drinks. I'm fine.
Only
9 or 10.
What time was it?
It was like 4:30 or 6 p.m., something like that. And I was like, I'm going to get away with it. And then my writing partner, comedy partner, Dan Sutter, texts me immediately when I'm done and goes, were you just drunk on the bonfire? Like immediately I knew. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So there was that and amongst a couple other things, but it was like, you know, not to get heavy. Well, yeah,
no,
whatever.
Get heavy.
I'll get heavy.
Guys, we fucked.
My mom died a little bit over a year ago and we found, you know, it's okay. We're kind of still in the middle of it ordeal wise.
Oh
and
shit.
We
yeah.
found out some facts about the death
that
day and I hadn't been drinking and that kind of like, precipitated me to like a week long binge.
Totally.
Yeah, it was kind of heavy. I'm not going to say that was an excuse, but that is why it happened.
Right.
And
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times when sobriety is hanging on by a thread, it takes a stress. Like the stressful event is the, well, if I'm really sober, then I won't lean into this right. drug or whatever, the or alcohol again. But yeah, it's too easy to slip.
For sure. And I was like smoking pot constantly for like the last 5 years. So it's okay. like, that was, which I don't consider that the same as drinking, but
it's a mind altering substance. For
it's
sure.
a mind altering substance, and yeah. it's the same in the sense that like I don't want to feel something today.
Totally.
So let me put this thing on, so well, I don't have to deal with it.
No stoner like calls somebody and says you're a fucking piece of shit. You know,
no.
like stoner behavior is more docile for sure. Like there was a year that I had scream crying, and I smoked weed a lot during the day, which I don't ever do because I was like, I had rage. Weed is, I find really good for rage.
Yeah. So. But then the problem is that you don't, it depends on who you are. Like yeah. for me, it was just like, you're just constantly like putting that away. So I was just.
Right. Cause like, then you're not learning how to get through the rage. You're just learning how to suppress the rage. Right.
Yeah. And it was the same thing with benzos too. Cause I was addicted to those for a while. So I was like.
Benzodiazepine.
Like Xanax or.
Klonopin.
Yeah. Or Valium. Yeah. So anti-anxiety drugs. So it's like more of those. I don't want to just feel whatever I'm feeling. Let me turn on an air conditioner in my body that just cools everything down. But weed is the one. I mean, I've only been sober this time, like 4.5 months.
Yeah.
But that's the one that I do miss quite a bit.
So you're completely sober.
I'm not doing anything but a lot of trans fats. That's about it.
Right.
Anything else I'm not doing.
How long were you sober from alcohol this last time when you relapsed?
Well, the problem is my mom died over a year ago and I was on and off. I'd have 3 weeks and then go back off and then 3 weeks and then go back off. So I wasn't like it was probably like 2 months, like September was what the last time I drank. And then like 2 months later. So I had about 2 months.
But wasn't there a long, a period of time when there was like years in there? Or
I've had times where I've had 3 years,
right.
I've had 3 years twice.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
So like. I had 3 years when I was in New York, and then I had 3 years when I was in LA. So, and things definitely got better. So it's, you know, the only thing that you deal with is that you get bored, especially without weed.
So yeah,
you get super bored.
My partner is a very high functioning alcoholic, and like we've talked about this on the show before. Alcohol doesn't affect me this way, but affects him this way.
Is he still drinking or no?
No. So he's been a couple months, completely sober. And, but like when he drinks, it's like coffee to him. Like it makes him energized and more like he's already very social. I'm like, damn, if booze affected me like that, I probably would have an alcohol problem because it just makes me want to go to bed. But he was saying to me, he's like, I'm bored. And so I also was going to say, I was watching a lot of Oprah videos on YouTube the other day. And one of the things she said was, there's this book called What Happened to You. That was really profound that she co-wrote with a psychologist. And she said, conquering an addiction is some of the most highest spiritual work anybody will ever do in their lifetime. And I don't think Oprah's had an addiction, maybe with food. She talked about her addiction to food.
Stuff, food addiction for sure.
But I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And so I'm curious, like your state now. You know, you're 4 months sober with all of the things. What's the traffic like in your head?
I don't want to drink right now. I don't want to do any hard drugs right now. I do want to smoke weed right now. Yeah. And I think it's because there are things that I don't want to be feeling right now.
Yeah.
And I am back in therapy, so that's good. And I do have a psychiatrist. We're really getting into it on this podcast. But I you warned me. But yeah, so I feel like that sometimes I just want to fucking break.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to like, it's not that I want to vent like, or I want to like be like, you know, like spend 3 days in a motel somewhere where I blow my face off and I, you know, scream at the moon. I don't want that. But I do want, like, I do miss smoking weed, playing 2 hours of video games, you know, like not like
so
just
like
having
numbing,
my dog.
Yeah.
Like a numbing thing. Yeah, I do miss that. Spiritually, you know, I can't, my wife's not drinking. She's not smoking pot right now. She's not doing anything.
In solidarity,
yeah. Which at times I wish she wasn't. I was like, you know, sure you don't want to.
Really? Yeah, because I've been doing that with my boyfriend.
And then she'll like look at me and she's like, no, I'm not. Yeah. Do you want to? And
why
I'm
is
like,
she being a bitch or something?
No, she's not being a bitch at all.
You were like, I wish she would.
Yeah, no, she's not being, I mean, in the sense that I want to. I sometimes want to smoke weed. So I'm like, well, if she has a glass of wine, then maybe I can.
It will give you the
affirmation. Yeah, it's like, well, if you have a cookie, then I'm going to have a cookie, right?
Totally.
So that's the thing. for me, and it's always been substances. You know, I know people who like, you know, they want to like, their thing is they want to gamble or they want to act out in a relationship and cheat. And for me, it's always been, drugs. I want to like, you know,
get fucked up.
I just don't want to like deal with life on life's terms.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, Gabor Maté has some fascinating
I don't even
things.
Know who, Gesundheit. I have no idea who that is.
He's a great author. He's an incredible psychologist or Gabor psychiatrist. Gabor Maté, yeah. He wrote a book about addiction, and he says, like, we always look at addicts like they're this part of this low level of society, which is absolutely the opposite of true. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the greatest artists of our times were at it, like, you know, and we the way we approach addiction is so backwards, because we always say, like, what you're doing is wrong, your behavior is wrong, what's wrong with you, you know? And it's like, well, no, what's right about your addiction? Meaning, what do these drugs give you that you don't have otherwise, that is something that you want, that's something good, good for you, in quotes. And it's, so it seems like the numbing is the thing.
I think that that's the case. Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, like, I'm a very work first person. And if I'm not working, I'm like, what am I doing?
Sure,
and
me
so
too.
I always associate like being able to like get drunk or smoke a joint as like, oh, this is like my recreational time. Like, I don't have like, I don't have the same, like, I don't have, I'm not part of like a pickleball league.
Oh, pickleball's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't sing karaoke. Maybe I should, but those are the things I probably should be replacing
it with more. I was
going
to say hobbies.
More.
Like, yeah, for hobbies sure. that you actually like doing.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Potent. That's the thing. I mean, I love my dogs. I love hanging out with my wife. And those are like, and I mean, as we know, because we all do a lot of shows here, it's like when you have a night off, a lot of the times you just don't want to do anything.
Totally.
You just kind of want to like
veg
out. But, yeah, so I think like I think trying to add new stuff to the routine should be where I'm going in the next like the next couple of weeks. I'm so busy anyway, it doesn't really matter. But like eventually when I have downtime, it's to do that kind of thing for sure.
Can I ask you what feelings are you running from? Do you know? As somebody who struggled with addiction and ran from very specific feelings, that's I asked from that place.
I never think I'm enough for sure. I think that almost the one thing that I think is common with almost anyone who's had a drug and alcohol problem is you feel like the other, you feel different from everybody else. I had that from when I was a kid and I was getting picked on to like being someone who has friends and a wife and, you know, like, so it's like, what, you know, cause it was interesting cause it was, or when I was like lonely, I was like, oh, I'm married to a wonderful person. Now I have three dogs, I have great friends, you know? And I'm like, and I still have that other feeling. I still have that, like, I feel like I'm cut off from, like, something's different about me. Something's wrong about me.
Mm-hmm. That's usually where all addiction stems from.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's the thing that, like I'm not enough.
Yeah.
So those are the things. And my mom suffered from the disease. So I think that I had also, you know, there's some Al-Anon shit in there. And, you know, my whole family, my grandpa died from it, my mom died from it. So it's like I have living examples of, you know, what's in store for me. So I definitely think that, like, yeah, there's like an element of feeling like, you know, the alien, as I look at alien stickers on your guys' laptop.
Yes, I am an alien, actually. Yeah. If you're not comfortable about it, just skip.
Sure.
But I'm curious what you found out about your mom after.
That would be so funny if I hear, how big are your balls? Like, I got told everything.
Balls,
I was like, what are we talking about? How big is your butthole? My mom, I can't go specifically into this, and I would have told you that beforehand, but she was definitely suffering. This doesn't involve, her death is different, but she was suffering from elements of alcoholic dementia. We did have to put her in an assisted living facility when she was in her 60s, way earlier than she should have been.
Yeah.
Some of that was due to the marriage with my dad and her ending. There was a lot of, you know, I don't think my mom could, you know, again, she couldn't handle life on life's terms. And, you know, this was, you know, she kind of had a bunch of bad things happen in a row, and, you know, she was hurt. So she hurt herself, and she certainly hurt other people in her family. I think that those things, you know, like, and then she always just medicated through alcohol. Like, my dad, you know, my dad drinks too much at times, but she, my grandpa died with a bottle in his hands. My grandma had alcoholic problems, and you know, that whole side of the family, there's a lot of addiction, not even, you know, not even speaking that I'm people I'm not even covering that I'm not as close to.
Right.
So like for whatever reason, that has been the salve, you know?
Yeah. There's been a lot of arguments about like his addiction genetic and like the guy Gabor that I was mentioning earlier. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I don't really think it is, but I think it's more powerful to witness your parent handle something with a drug, for example, or handle something with a temper, or handle something like I got things from my father. I would presume from my father, but I'm not genetically related to him. So I'm like, oh, okay. So this is nurture. Like nurture is huge.
And right.
Kids are so sensitive.
Do you think that you like there's certain ways that your dad deals with stuff that you deal with them the same
way?
Yeah.
Temper.
Yeah.
A lot of rage. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like being a little too scared of feelings. It sounds like your wife from the few things that you've mentioned is handling this like a champ.
She's
like
really been great. Being a nice partner. So I'm very lucky. I lucked out in love. I married well.
Yeah. I was kind of going to ask how long have you been married to her?
We'll be 5 years in October, but we were together for like 6 years. We dated like 7 years ago, but it was like casual. And then we got, you know, together like a year after that.
Were you sober when you met her? Like what?
I was.
And then the first time that you relapsed with her, cause I'm so curious.
I did not relapse with her. We were broken up.
Okay.
We were kind of like dating on and off. So that was in LA. I had gone out and partially as I was prescribed anxiety medication. And I'm not going to just blame it on that. I made a decision to go out, but I think that kind of led to it in some ways. And she's dealt with, you know, she's, you know, and it is kind of the reason I'm also staying, you know, sober at this point is that she's like, you know, had to deal with some of it. And I can't.
Yeah, as a partner does.
Yeah, as a partner, it's a lot of bullshit.
A partner can't be unaffected by another partner's addiction.
No, of course not. And she's, you know, at times I think she's like, you know, that's her story to tell, but she's like had, you know, she's probably partied too much at times in her life. I wouldn't put her in the same category as me at all, but she's, you know, flourishing without it right now. And so I think that her dealing with that was definitely, she likes me a lot better when I'm not on anything, for sure.
Is that motivation for you to?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, that's nice to use that type of motivation when your partner sees the best in you. You're like, well, I can't see the best in me right now, but I'm going to take your word for it because you married me.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely an element of, I can't, you know, I have a family now. I don't have kids, but I have a wife and dogs, and I can't, you know, I can't just do the shit that I did in my 20s anymore, you know?
Yeah,
I can't
sister.
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes I want to. I really want to, you know, I want to like not be, you know, accountable to anybody. And that's not in the sense of like, I want to be like, oh, I want to go to Vegas and be single. Like it's more
I just
want to like freaking go to a Best Western for a week and interrupt Pizza Man or something.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
I wonder if there's like a correlation between kids who grew up with parents where the parents didn't take responsibility for themselves, meaning like they kind of fell into like the addiction and was swallowed by it or had mental illness that they didn't keep in check or whatever the fuck it is. And it's like the kid never got to be a kid. So I feel like sometimes when that kind of kid grows up, they're like, somebody else hold it together for once. Let me be the fucking mess for once.
Right.
There's kind of like, I used to feel like that. And I would get mad, like having conversations about like, Christina, maybe you should chill on the substances. I'm like, ah! You know, because it's like, give me a rest.
It's your dealer you're telling it to.
Fortunately, I was very happy to learn I do not like cocaine. That was the one drug. That's the only drug I don't like.
Great, thank God.
Yeah, but because I know
especially
that one can get nasty.
Especially now with fentanyl and everything.
Yeah. But there's plenty of other drugs that I love. But I wonder if it's part of that. It's like a child that carries a lot of emotional weight prematurely just wants to fucking relax and numb out more so than the average bear.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I think like the problem is with high school is that whenever I would do it, I was never having like six drinks. It was always like, let me get fucking bombed, you know, let me like, and then I would have a disaster. I would put myself in harm's way. Or
did you just say
like
six drinks like a light night?
Right. That's
that would be
wild.
A light night. I always say if I could stop at 8, I would still be drinking, you know?
Yeah.
What's like the most amount?
Men can just drink differently. Like what are you drinking?
Really
like, also, what was your drink of choice?
Well, the last time around I was like fooling myself. I'm like, I can't touch whiskey. So what I'll drink is beer and rum, you know, and I would have like 16 girly drinks, but it's like, I'm drinking them like Like I'm on, like a, you're having like a Mai Tai Deadwood or something. Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, I'm having a Bahama Mama.
Dan
like
loves it's,
like
Jimmy
I'm a
Buffett.
Cop mourning a dead partner or something like that.
Well, that's very interesting because there are a couple people I know who drink beer and are alcoholics and think because their drink of choice is beer that they're not alcoholics. And it is hard to watch. It's hard to watch the amount of denial that you have to be living in. Yeah. I don't. Like,
what do you do?
Who started the rumor that beer is not, you can't be an alcoholic on beer?
Beer companies did.
Like, what?
Beer companies did, yeah, for sure.
You only got 4% alcohol, so do whatever you want.
Like, if you've seen beer commercials, no one looks like they drink beer who's in a beer commercial. Like, if you look at Bud Light or Miller, it's all like,
you look
like a DJ. Yeah. Like, what are you doing here?
Well, that's why I like that Shane Gillis, they hired Shane Gillis, because he looks like
he drinks beer.
In the best way. I was like, amazing. Drinks collab.
Beer. Yeah, for sure. Like, but a lot of the times you'll watch him and you'll be like, this is like The Weeknd or something. Yeah.
Right,
you know?
right.
I don't know. I wish that, I think that especially the IPAs now, because IPAs you can get like, I remember I was drinking a beer that was like 13% alcohol, and I was like, what's the difference between this and
Delirium
vodka soda?
Yeah, having an IPA is like having a fucking sandwich.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, rye bread.
I'm like, what is this? I can't even drink enough beer to get drunk on it, because if my stomach gets full first. So I'm always kind of like, when someone can drink, 10, 11 beers, I'm more impressed.
Yeah.
Like, how did you even get that in there?
Especially, I can do that with like a light beer, like Keystone Light or Coors Light or Bud Light. But, if I'm having, if I'm having an IPA, it's like, I feel full, six drinks in or something like
I'm
that.
I'm on a diet.
I'm on a diet.
Only that's six for me.
I'm already overweight, so it's like I'll get like scary TLC fat. You know what I mean? TLC special fat. The fire department's like breaking a door down for me to leave. So
you get a show.
Yeah, that's true.
I finally made it on TV.
At
my high points.
I didn't get the Tonight Show, guys, but I am on 700 pounds and pregnant. And pregnant somehow.
Was it your decision to go to rehab, or was it
this time around? It was
okay. That's
and then the last time inpatient. This was like my fifth time going, so it depends.
Cute.
Like a lot of the other times were outpatients. And then the last time it was like to like try to get a girl back, and then like as soon as I got back. She was like, yeah, I'm still not going to go out with you. And I was like, which, by the way, she was right. But like that was my reasoning. And this time it was more like, all right, man, I'm going to be, 40 and like, I can't put it into the next gear in comedy at 50. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so I have like only I have this window. I'm going to be 40 in May. I'm 39 now. So I have like this window. So I'm like, I really have to, kind of like get my shit together now instead of like be worrying about this when I'm 55 years old or something.
What's inpatient therapy like? Inpatient
rehab is you're there, you're staying there. And outpatient is, you can be doing it from home.
But it's all day therapy?
It's all day therapy. A lot of group therapy. Then there's also like some activities.
Oh, that's fun. What kind of activities?
I did build a snowman this last time around. That's on our fridge still.
paper snowman.
My sad rehab snowman.
Wow.
Cute. Sweet.
A lot of group activities. Like if I was suffering from alcoholism, that would make me want to drink more.
There are some, fun, Corinne. Yeah. We're the first rehab, we had sober karaoke, and I like did a bit about it where I'm like, I don't want to like do the things that I was embarrassed to do drunk. That's like sober.
Actually sounds like torture.
It's like it's like
sober stripping. Activity,
like sober, fuck a three, You're like, no, there's reason. There's something I want to do drunk. Like, please. I don't need to revisit that sober. Thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
They should take it like, they should like rehabs. You should like interact with animals and stuff like that. Like
we
that
did.
Should...
We had equine therapy.
Oh, nice.
And they had a rehab. Nice. This past one, they had a rehab dog who was very sweet.
What kind of dog was it?
It was a black lab.
Oh my God.
Which is the best. We have three dogs now. So that was amazing. Nice.
Yeah.
And then we did have a rehab dance, I think, because I was there. They have like the winter dance. I was there for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving meal was like incredible in rehab.
Nice. Wow.
Like one of the best. I was like having a panic attack all day, but then as soon as I got off my bathroom floor, I was like, oh, this stuffing's tremendous. So yeah, we had like a formal where it was like a dance, and it was just like nobody was dancing with each other, you know? Like, no, that's not true. There was one guy who was like, aww, yeah, but he was like trying to like make it happen. Oh, you know, yeah, what I mean?
That's a rehab no-no.
That's a rehab no-no. Rehab romance, although it happens, I mean, a lot. It's never happened.
Like, people were fucking, right?
You definitely want to
nobody
fuck
was fucking,
rehab.
I think, this time around, but it has. Sure. My friend would have met his wife in fucking rehab.
Good,
so it's like,
them,
you know,
yeah,
it does happen. I mean, because if you don't have like...
It's so naughty.
Of course, yeah. And also you don't have anything else... But at that point, you're like, well, I can fuck.
All I
and
have is fucking.
Can't do heroin.
Yeah, exactly. When you can't do substances, the next best thing is like being addicted to a person. I mean, I actually enjoy that more, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that becomes a thing for a lot of people where it's afterwards, they're like, all right, well, sex then becomes a thing, you know? And it's like, for right now, for me, it's like the one that's the hardest is food, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how long? You still do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can cut off sex and drinking, but you still have to eat.
No, I often think about that. And yeah. I was writing something about that. I mean, like, not that, because I don't have food addiction, but if there was something that I was like most, like my most challenging relationship as far as substance, it's definitely food.
Yeah, for
sure. And the thing is like, yeah, exactly. You can stop doing heroin cold turkey, but you have to eat a little, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Just do the healthy heroin. Well, I'm not right now.
And it's all around.
I mean, I just got back from Dallas where I went to like Terry Black's Barbecue and Whataburger and Mexican. And I was just, you know, but I overeat. My wife, who's like, you know, 105 pounds, is like, ooh, let me eat. And she'll like eat like a quarter of what I eat.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, we are not the same.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
She'll like, ooh, it'll taste of banana pudding rather than like just me with a gallon in a corner mainlining it in my fucking veins. So.
Do they go over food addiction and rehab at all, or are they just concentrating on
the substances?
A little
bit, yeah. There was some nutrition stuff there, for sure.
What are they presenting for food addiction there?
I mean, they went through a lot of it, you know, it's not the number one thing they're focusing on,
sure,
honestly, unless you have an eating disorder and you're like cross-addicted. So right, like if some cross-addicted sounds so hot. If some girl's like, you know, like a bulimic on top of being an alcoholic, then she's probably going to have a much rougher road than
if you
were just one of those things.
Right.
So it's not the primary. Like, if you gain 30 pounds the first year, they're like, that's fine if you're not, you know, doing fentanyl. Like, you shouldn't, but it's better than if you were... Mm-hmm. You know, and then there are people too that will get like are really underweight, and then they'll come and then they'll gain like 50 pounds in rehab just because they haven't been eating for a year.
Oh, fuck, shit. So. I have two more logistical questions, mm-hmm, real quick. How long were you in the inpatient rehab and how much was it?
This time it was 21 days and I was on my wife's insurance. So it was
covered?
Great. Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic. Oh, yay. I love hearing about insurance covering something that somebody needs.
But it's a little bit, it is stressful because you don't know, like they only, like, okay, you have another 3 days. Okay, you have another 3 days because they only greenlight you for like
Jesus,
3 days each time. So in your head, you're like, oh my God, am I going to break?
Today's going to be the day I get rejected.
Yeah, I'm going to be but the last rehab I went to, it was like, it covered, I ended up having to spend 10 grand and then like insurance paid like 28 grand or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So like that was, but then there's ones that are like, you know, $60,000 or $70,000. And
yeah, those are the ones like for the celebrities, right?
Yeah, there was the celebrity one I almost went to.
In
I
Malibu.
Did not go to because of the,
oh,
you know,
on.
the I was about to say which celebrity, but I don't think I should, but
yeah, probably like not.
They're all there. So yeah, it's, hopefully you have insurance that covers it. And a lot of the times they want to do outpatient because it's cheaper.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they can keep you on outpatient for like 4 months rather than inpatient.
Did you have an aha moment while you were in therapy this go around? Was there any connection?
I think I have aha moments like every time in therapy, right?
Yeah,
where
that's
it's
great.
I mean, this time I'm just starting with a new therapist. My last guy was sober. He was like an actor guy. Remember that there's a Dick Wolf show called Cop Rock and it was like Law and Order but musical.
That's awesome.
And he had his bottom was he like woke up the next day and he was in a Jeep that he had bought in a blackout.
Holy
with a
shit.
Tiny with both his ears pierced and a tiny toy cup tea malty poo that he had also
a dog,
he got a dog in a bag. He was like, okay, I'm done.
That's a wrap for me and drugs.
A wrap
Buck
for
sold
me.
Him a drunk man a dog.
A guy
a
who really needs to get rid of these dogs.
It. Oh my God.
So yeah, I had
that's your therapist?
That was my therapist. I can't afford him right now.
Damn, so I was like, that's a good therapist.
I'm moving on to someone else. I'm moving on to like a woman now. I've never had like a female. I've had a female therapist once. That's not true. Usually I'm very good with gay men. I don't know why, because I'm the most like them besides enjoying penis.
What about she was gay?
I don't think that that would work either. I think a gay man really understands me.
No, but what about you? You said I'm the most
I don't know.
You know, because you don't.
You don't seem super gay to me.
My sponsor in LA was a gay guy. Mm-hmm. I mostly liked LGBT meetings when I was in LA. Like
really?
One. Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've made out with guys before. I did hook up with one guy once, like when I was in college. Yeah, it was like the straightest way to be gay, but
yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, it was
lick your vagina for a second. Did I do it?
Okay, I didn't do that. I had to give like a handy, which is like might as well just not do anything.
Yeah,
so you really phoned in that.
Yeah, I really phoned it in. But he wanted Tony, so I had like a whole thing where I was like, man, the one guy I hook up with, I like hook up with like the LeBron James of gays, and all sick. The women are like work at Guitar Center or Hardee's now, you know, so it's like, it's a real, I would have stayed with Cock if I could, but unfortunately that didn't work.
Yeah, gay makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
It just does.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm more connected. I don't know, I've always been.
Do you have a lot of male friends?
Do you have a lot of male friends?
Yeah, straight male friends.
I have a lot of straight male friends too.
You do?
Yeah.
And you find no like issue connecting with them emotionally? Or do you just hang?
I don't think so. Uh-huh. I think those ones that kind of drop away now. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I have guy friends, I'll say I love you too.
Which is good.
Which is I was uncomfortable for a little bit. Like, you know who got me out of that for a little bit was actually Soder. Soder said it to me, and I was like, oh, I love you too. And in the beginning, I always felt like there was going to be like some angry Great Santino dad who was going to like beat me with a basketball when I did that. But I was like, no, you can say I love you and it's fine.
Yeah. It's fine.
But that took a while to do that. But yeah, most of my, like, I saw one of my best friends I was at Dallas Comedy Club all weekend, and I saw him and, you know, I said I love you, and that was fine. So that's his wife too. But it took a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You just got to get used to it. Like it's all like training your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like when you're working on yourself, it's like going to the gym with your mind and going, okay, I'm the old thought patterns. We're gonna reroute. We got to reroute. And you just keep rerouting and rerouting until it sticks. You know.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable calling like one of your straight guy friends and having a conversation like, you know, about struggling with sobriety? Or do you feel more comfortable only talking about your wife with that?
I can talk to other people who struggle with it.
I was going to say Dan had
and my
had
wife. Those are the two.
Issues. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk with them because those are the ones that aren't going to let me off the hook. You know, there are certain people that I want to call that. You know, like this time around drinking, and I'm still friends with him now. I'm seeing him now, but he didn't know that I had a problem, and I kept him as like my drunk friend.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, but now he does. So, I would definitely keep those. I would try to like partition a little bit.
Yeah.
I think for sure.
Yeah.
So it was more strategic. I only ask because it is like common in heterosexual relationships that the woman just takes on the emotional burden of the man. And I think like if you could divvy up some of that responsibility to other people in your life, specifically not female friends, like
right.
It would just be better for society. And I also think so like kind too. Of trains men to like, you know, it's like you should be able to talk to your guy friends, like, because they understand what it's like to be a guy. Like, there are some things that only you guys are going to understand about one another. Yeah. The same as like we have girlfriends.
Yeah, I think like I do think that like in the 1950s, like you could be like best friends with a guy and not know that they were depressed ever.
Right, for sure. You know? Absolutely.
And that is one like sort of, I guess, evolution that's happened. But, you know, I think in general, people don't. I think that, and I have to like, sometimes I like to, like, and I think comics do this a lot, like where I vomit out emotions, but that I'm not really dealing with them. I'm just like, doing this and blah, blah, blah. You're just like talking about the problem. You're not actually having someone challenge you on it or like going to the, You know, I mean, and that's kind of like, and comedy rewards that kind of behavior, which is in the beginning helps you stand out, but then it really helps stunt you.
Yep.
You know, where it's like, I'm a, you know, how many sets have you seen? I'm a drunk. I'm a slut. I'm an asshole. I'm a, you know, and it's
you're
like.
You're wearing like a badge.
Yeah, yeah, you wear like, it like a badge. Yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's funny, but like, what are you doing to work on that?
Right. You know? Right.
Yeah, so that takes. You know, and that's hard. That's hard to fucking want to fix too. You know, because I think we have this thing too, where it's like, well, if I fix everything, then I'm not going to be particularly interesting to anybody.
Well, that's part of the fear, though. I think you still will, and you still have your you know, your history can always be the story. But like, you're not going to have any friends left if you don't fix it.
And there's so many interesting things to get into once you're sober and like kind of have of the right mind.
Yeah,
like aliens.
Yeah, like there we go.
Yeah,
like
they're ghost here hunting. Now. Yeah, they
are.
Oh, yeah, they are.
So you've been married for 5 years. What has been your favorite part of being married? Like a little more specific, not just like support. Like,
well, you know, I mean, like the hang's great, man.
The hang,
you know, like
is it different when you're married?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that there's less of a, you know, I mean, like when you're dating, it's just there's like a lot of an element of like it being a show every time you go out, you know. Yeah. And I feel genuinely comfortable with my wife. And, you know, most of the people that I know that the relationships that last that I've known and, you know, are the ones where they can feel comfortable, like completely comfortable around this person. That's not the ones that don't last are not like, oh, we had this amazing pheromone like connection and it was like the movie Garden State or some shit.
Oh,
like
my
that
God. It's that was like, my dream relationship
right
for so
when you're
long.
In your 20s. Yeah, yeah. It is, because it's a drug, you know. Yeah, and you want that, and it's not, you know, like I forget this, there's this one writer, Joel, and I forget who it was now, but he was like, yeah, I can just feel, I can be boring around my wife. That's how I know that it's the one. Like a lot of people are like, you know, like all the other stuff, like, yeah, it's like, dude, does she call me on my shit? Absolutely. But like,
that's great.
You know, and I need that, but it's not like the same. I think that that's the, and we have like three really cute dogs. We love watching horror movies together. We love, you know, like the same
tree
thing. We
dogs.
Love, you know, laughing and. It's one of those things where, like, I think I'm her favorite person to annoy too. So, like, I think that that's keeps it. There's a lot of really good things, and I also think that it took me a while, but for a while I was trying to like look for somebody who was withholding because I wanted to recreate the same relationship I had with my mom growing up, and then and not just her, but I think like someone I dated also before her, I was like, no, let me do the opposite and like go for somebody who actually like really likes me. Cause like I think too, and I think that like comedy and showbiz stuff makes that worse because we always want the thing we can't get, and if you do that with romantic relationships, you're fucked.
No. Like my therapist, you know? Like is very clear. She's like, the most important thing about a relationship is like the person really likes you. Cause it's like been a kind of running joke. Like my favorite thing about like one of my favorite quality about someone is like, if they really like me and everyone always makes fun of me for that. They're like, oh,
no,
you're like
great.
A narcissist. And I brought it to my therapist and I said, and she goes, no, that's the fucking way that you should be looking at
for
relationships.
Sure.
She's like, you're doing it right. And everyone else is projecting on you because they can't do it that way. And I was like, all right. I just want to make sure because it seemed to me like very logical that you should be pursuing someone who sees you in the most positive light, you know?
I was thinking about it's, you know, this girl that I dated in my 20s, we went on 3 days.
Right.
And like physically she looked like the lead singer of Churches, which like at the time was like what I wanted. But I was I was thinking about this like dating and I was like, I think that girl fucking hated me. And we went out like
you probably
three
loved
times
it.
And I kept going back. I'm like, I would never do that. Like that would be like let's say my wife divorced me, please don't, tomorrow. Like I would never, like that would be the last thing that I would be doing is like
so
be
much.
Like, oh, let me go search for the fucking,
yeah,
you know, like that one
well,
girl I can't
though,
get.
You what
know?
Is
like, pixie dream girl?
Oh, she's hot. Yeah, no,
she's
I know you're
super.
Yeah,
hot.
No, I also
she's cute.
I also wonder.
It's not my type now, but she was cute.
Like, I wonder, she's, like, what is wrong with that woman too? Though, you know, why is she going out with someone she hates?
I think
that's
it's
also strange.
I think that like there's probably a guy that she really likes that.
Women be doing that.
You know, that
women
she's like,
men.
I need to know that like I have somebody who's worshiping me because the guy that I really want.
Oh, and you were worshiping her? It was that excessive? Yeah.
I don't know if it wasn't that. It wasn't that obsessed. I have worshiped girls before. It wasn't that particular case. It wasn't.
Ooh, what's it like when you worship a girl? What does that look like?
Well, it has nothing to do with the girl a lot of the time. Yeah. And has to do with this fucking idea of this person that you put in your head that isn't real.
It's a lot of it's a lot of pressure to be worshipped was the real thing I was just going to say, but I do mean that because because you're so right. It's never they are worshipping the idea of you that they created in their head, and then it puts pressure on you
to live up.
And then I go at the end of so many things I go, you created that. I didn't ask you to do that.
Yeah,
I like who I am.
It's also scary.
I didn't. Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to heal. You know, and I also hate when people put on an act for me because I go, well, I just fell in love with someone who doesn't exist.
Right.
That's rude.
Yeah, that's rude.
My AI boyfriend.
To put it lightly. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that there's a common misconception with like, oh, if it's positive treatment, it's good. But it's like, no, either extreme is bad. And the person is right to not take either extreme personally. This all has to do with what's going inside of you.
But it takes, I really think you need to like, have a moment where you say to yourself, what do I really want? What is good for my person? Rather than like just hoping I meet that person. Because if you do that, your internal navigation's already fucked.
Yeah.
You have to reset that on your own before you go back out there again.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you have a list of things? Because like, one of the things you mentioned is like, you like that she calls you on her shit, which I hear a lot from men. But mm-hmm. I, as a woman, also need someone who calls me on my shit. So I appreciate.
Right, and I do that too.
I appreciate that for sure. And like, what else were you looking for? Like things that you realized along the way, like I need this in a partner for it to function well.
For a while, I didn't want anyone. I did not care about a sense of humor, and I did not care about any.
That's
woman
popular for men.
Who's, you know, I didn't.
At first I was like, you did it? And then like, right.
Yeah, yeah. And then I realized like, oh, it's a lot easier when you can laugh with somebody. Like, oh, shitload easier. Right. So I didn't care about that forever.
Mm-hmm.
So did you date women with zero senses of humor?
I have before. Blah. Sometimes I would.
Like
sometimes
got offended by shit? No sense of humor?
Most of the women that I've dated pretty seriously have been pretty funny, with the exception of like maybe like one. But it wasn't something
I didn't think.
Like I had this idea that I did want like kind of an ice princess, I think, for a little bit.
A nice princess.
An ice princess.
Wait, what's mean?
People get fucking horny for ice princesses.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I gotta
be an ice princess for Halloween.
Be the ice princess.
Yeah.
But can you describe what an ice
princess? Like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I mean, I'm an ice princess, but the thing is, and then like I've worked a lot on not being it in relationships, but the thing is people go after an ice princess, and then when they're in the relationship with the ice princess, they go, oh, but why are you being an ice princess? I thought that was just like the way you catch men, and like you go, no, mm-hmm. this is like to the core who I am. Right. So why are you going to bring home an ice princess and then expect me to turn into a trad wife? Like it's not going to happen. Yeah. Like you selected something from the store, and then you go, why is this the thing I selected from the store? Why didn't it morph into something else?
I don't know where
that like comes through. It's just like just the same as like women are constantly being told like you can't change men. Like men need to learn the same thing about women that they go after.
I think that like, you know, there's things, you know, when you get in a relationship, you should always be changing.
Yeah,
like,
evolving.
Just as a human
being,
you should always be evolving. And you should, you know, like, and when you get into anything, you're like, okay, these are some things that I don't like about this person that are probably not going to totally change, but we need to work on them, you know, I think that that's in every relationship, you should have that. But the idea of fundamentally changing the person, I mean, that's just a fool's errand, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, for sure, because I go, oh, the thing you liked about me is that you really couldn't, like, you couldn't get through to me. And now you're mad that you can't get through to me when that was the thing that you liked about me.
It's unfair.
It's all about that person's own, like, goals and their, like, crooked self-esteem attached to the goal.
And but to the point of like, we don't want to, because sometimes I'll get annoyed with my wife where she'll like, she'll be like, hey, you want to wear this? And it's like a very preppy thing to wear. And I'm like, you're not going to change me. She's like, that's fine, but I don't want you to wear a fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt to my friend's friend at this formal thing. She's
that
like,
is super
we've
got
to meet in the middle somewhere.
She seems like she has a good head on her shoulders,
She does.
Yeah. And I remember when I saw pictures of when you guys got married, you posted pictures. I'm like, I don't like, I usually don't get a lot from a picture of a person, but I'm like, she just feels grounded to me.
She does. Well, it's also next to me and I have like giant hair and a beard. Everyone looks kind of grounded. responded. Unless it's like Wednesday Addams or something, you know.
Yeah.
What do you feel like if we were talking to your wife, what do you feel like she would say is the most positive effect you've had on her? Like, what is it that really stands out that you bring to her into her life?
I can calm her down probably better than anybody.
Nice.
You know,
how do you calm a woman down?
How do you wrangle her?
A woman, a person, everyone's different. So it's
like, how do you calm her down specifically?
I literally go like, we need to, like, let's calm slow her down. I smack her around
down,
a bit,
bitch.
Throw her around a bit.
Just I punch fucking, her.
Just bounce her head against. No, I was like, let's slow down. Let's like go through this. Like, we're not logically thinking about this right now. You know, it's like kind of that kind of thing, which she does for me too. So it's like, we are both very good at that. Cause I think she's dated, she could never date a guy, and she has before, who were kind of like her, who were more like if she dated someone who was on her ass for cleaning, she would murder them. You know what I mean? She's much more comfortable with me being like, but if somebody was neater than her, she would like not deal with that at all.
Right.
So everyone's like, as much so as different. She gives me shit, and I am a fucking slob, as she gives me shit about being a slob, like if she was with somebody who was like, cause there's been times where I've gone like, hey, can you pick that? And she'll get like furious. And that's like once in a blue moon where I'll do that. The only thing I do now is like, she'll go after me for something. And then I'll, in my head, I'll like document. I'm like, well, 2 weeks ago, you did the same thing with a Coke bottle and I didn't say anything. And she's like, you know, like
you've been sitting on that one for a while.
Like that. I do. Yeah, I sit on times where she's sloppy just so I can be sloppy. And I like chronicle them in my head, which is probably unhealthy.
One of the beautiful things that I love about like a long-term relationship is like, you do get to know how to deal with each other. And it's so nice when someone deals with you in a way that they're not like shaming you for your behavior or anything like that. They're like, no, I know your pattern, and I know I just got to wait this amount of time, and you'll completely change your mind.
Yeah. I know the time she needs to eat. That's a big thing. I think that's every
feeding time.
Right. Yeah. Where I'm like, you're being, I'll be like, well, she'll get a little mean, and I'm like, you haven't eaten yet. Yeah. We have to get something. Yeah. I need to like we need to feed you first before
that's
we
can very go sweet. Out.
But yeah, it's stuff like that. It's really unsexy shit to talk about, you know, opposed to like my friend. I know that they're like, I know a friend, I'm not going to say who, is probably in cruising for a bruising with a relationship because the way that they are talking about it is like, I've never felt this way before. And it's hard to get through to her. And it's like, it just sounds so fucking dramatic already that I'm like, this is not going to work.
Yeah, right. But man, yeah. So your friend is hooked. Because on hope, the most tragic addiction of all of this is hope. Yeah. A lot of times, because that will really fuck you over.
Yes, yes. The audacity of hope.
No, but I think it's kind of, I actually think it is sexy when your partner can like knows you so well that they don't take your certain things personally, but they also don't put up with your shit. Like, I love it. I think that's so hot.
Do you have that with your man now?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or lady?
I'm sure. Very, oh, thank you. I tried. It just didn't work out. I was putting a square peg in a round hole.
Went down at her like licking a stamp. And then you're like, no,
did I do it right? And she was like, you could have done it for more than a second. I like when like I can be very dramatic, and it's nice when, and I'll like be dramatic in a situation and like I'll apologize later. And he's like, yeah, I know you're just being dramatic. It was fine. And I knew about 12 hours right on the dot, you were going to go, sorry. And like, it's fine. I don't care. It doesn't piss me off. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And it also it makes me want to dissolve that behavior. Because being called out in a way that's not shameful actually paves the way for you to change.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's funny. It makes me want to dissolve when people can predict my patterns. You go, I guess I'm going to change it then. Mm. Don't want to be a hack.
Totally. Yes,
I am an emotional hack, for sure.
And go, I'm going to throw something in the mix next time. And you won't even know that I'm going to react that way.
One of the last questions I had for you, we get a lot of emails about people entering relationships with their partner. Like, I think it's safe to say that you should is a dirty word, but entering a relationship with somebody who's an active addiction, if you could like tell, you know, that's a no-no, right? I mean, that's like, what are your thoughts? Cause you met your wife, you had a couple like really long stints of sobriety and you met her in those stints. So it's like, you know, it's a foundation, but then I'm like, am I judging you on something that does that matter? I don't know.
I think it's always, you know, you never want to be in the relationship. I call it like the gatekeeper and keymaster thing, where you're the gatekeeper, you're the keymaster. Where you meet somebody and you're like, oh, we're about to doom each other.
Yeah.
This is really bad. I definitely had one time where I was actually over a weekend and a girl met up with me and she has since passed. But like I could tell we both had it, you know, like, so it was like I've had that before where it's been like, this is probably not, but that's never been something. I've always been somebody who's attracted to someone with their shit together more than me. Cause I just can't, you know, two drowning people can't save each other. Mm. Right. So I would say that that's always not good, but I find a lot of the times that people who are attracted to that, it's either cause they want to do it themselves or, and this happens, I think, a lot with women. There's a part of them, even though they say they hate it, there's a part of them that gets off on being this guy's babysitter.
Totally, and, yeah.
Off on being...
Recreating a parent relationship they had.
And also they can't fucking... And then if you have a drunk... If you're dating a drunk dude who's drunk all the time, they can't call you out on your shit. Right. So if you were a girl who has her own problems, if she's like, well, yeah, I made it to that, but I didn't fucking vomit at a Chili's the other night. And then the guy gets quiet because he knows. So it's like you keep the fuck up around so the telescope's never on you.
It's like you're dating a reality television show. You're like, well, my life's not that bad, so I'm doing great.
Exactly. Mm, yeah.
I never thought about that aspect, but it makes sense.
Which is actually, I watched the show Summer Out. Now I watch a reality show with my, there's like a couple like that, Amanda and Kyle, where I was like, clearly she just, like, she's never wants me to get sober because then if she did, it's like, the attention's going to be on her. Mm. You know, like, where it's like one of those things, I think. Yep. Where it's like, oh, if I have this baby drunk around all the time.
<you know? laughs> This baby drunk.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you
again.
For having me.
It's a great convo.
Can you promote your special for everyone? We did it at the top, but do it again.
Dance Fatty Dance. I do talk about, we never talk about sex stuff, so I do talk about getting pegged on my wife, by my wife on the special, which, you know, you just have to check out the special for that. It's funny. I don't think anyone thinks this is turned on. But I talk a lot about politics, my relationship with my wife, and then a bunch of other, and then some recovery stuff. So that's on YouTube, and it'll be on 800 Pound Girls site first, and then All Things, and then maybe Norman's YouTube page. I'm not sure. But I'm also on Instagram, Dan St. Germain on Instagram. I put like every single one of us, we have to put like 3 videos out on it every week. I have a YouTube channel. I have a wrestling podcast. I still do Wrestle Roast.
Hell yeah. I love wrestling.
Which I don't know how much crossover there is for this podcast.
You'd be surprised. We got some Skanks fans listening to us.
Some Skanks fans listen to us. So check that out if you're a big wrestling fan, and tell your comedy club to book me. So that's about it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being vulnerable with us. That's Eric's feeling today.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw back
it's
to
a vulnerable
him.
Day.
I love it. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
She was some kind of strange in the bedroom. She liked to make me cross-dress after Sunday lunch. But I didn't protest, cause I look good in a dress. So what's the point of getting bent out of shape? But there's a lady in red at the end of your bed who's gonna give you just as good as she tastes. Oh, baby, baby, you can do it any way you like. Baby, baby, but boy, you stay until the end of the night.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.